بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وبعد. طيب what we've done so far, before I touch anything I have to get the electricity out first. Okay, what we've done so far is, yani, first we stated what usul al-fiqh is about, and then we moved on to the Quran, and with respect to the Quran, we determine what is part of the Quran and what isn't part of the Quran. Remember that? And we define what is the Quran and lay down the conditions for anything to be the Quran. Well, after that, yani, we moved on to the Sunnah. And also with respect to the Sunnah, we want to distinguish between, yani, what is the Sunnah and what isn't the Sunnah. But last time I made a classic mistake, yani, which is a very common mistake nowadays. Yeah, otherwise you would have probably pointed it out. I said we want to distinguish between legal Sunnah and non-legal Sunnah. You'll find this maybe in almost all the modern books on usul al-fiqh. Unless, sunnah tashri'i wa sunnah ghayr tashri'i. Have you ever heard that before? You never heard that expression before? This is because you're not reading the textbook, obviously. Okay, last time, well, you heard it. Those of you who were here last time, you heard it last time, yeah. If you were paying attention. And we said, and what was I talking about here? I said we went through the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. I need to distinguish between what is legal sunnah and what is non-legal sunnah. Okay? So I said, you will hear this expression a lot, but there's no such thing as non-legal sunnah. Okay, there's no such thing. Why is that? This is something that Ibn Taymiyyah pointed out a long time ago. What do you mean, all sunnah is legal? What do you mean? Be more specific. I didn't say it anymore. I didn't say it more in Arabic. I said, be more specific. Tayyib. What about the action? You were here for the actions, right? But we said some actions, yani, he did out of, for example, because of custom or for any natural disposition. Like what? You want us to go back now over? He might have been sleeping.
Is it because, from other point of view, the artist is from point of view?
What do you mean they are for fuqaha?
From mustalah it's not. But others they might sunnah.
Okay, yeah, for muhaddithin, that was what I was saying. And for muhaddithin, all obviously it's all sunnah. They're not even concerned about these first words. Because every aspect of the sunnah at least points to one thing. And all those different actions of the Prophet that we talked about, the different categories, at least they point to one thing, that the acts that the Prophet ﷺ did are mubah. Right? Could we have the film? Now we Well, saying something mubah means permissible. And he's saying something is permissible is what? It is a Sharia ruling. And if you are saying something is mubah, you are making a Sharia ruling. So there's no such thing as non-legal sunnah. Although, as I said, you will find it in many modern books in usul al-fiqh. And there's no such thing. So what we're trying to distinguish then was what? Not the legal sunnah from the non-legal sunnah, but well, the sunnah يعني which is meant to be قدوة. Okay, the sunnah which is قدوة from the sunnah which is not قدوة or not meant to be قدوة. قدوة is something that you're supposed to follow or example. Now, all of them are hujjah. Okay, all of them are hujjah that, for example, that action is mubah. For example, we talked about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sleep on his right side. What did we say about it? No, I said it's not meant to be qudwa. It's hujjah in the sense that it shows that the action is mubah. Right? Well, if I said that, I didn't mean to say it in that way. And in one sense, it is a hujjah. Yeah, it's not meant to be qudwa. And it's not meant to be something that we are necessarily supposed to follow. So when we went through the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, we try to distinguish between these two. Okay.
What example?
Hey. What did we say about it? Yeah. Yes, this is something mubah. No, this is simply mubah. So that's yani the. You will hear this expression. There's no such thing unless they mean this. Okay, this is all that they could mean by it. So, for example, what the Prophet ﷺ did, specific things he did in war, and it shows that those things are simply mubah, but it doesn't mean that we have to do the same things in war now. Because the purpose of war, the purpose of jihad, yani is to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you use the same methods as they used at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, you probably will not be successful. So, as I said, although this term is used, there's no such thing actually. Ibn Taymiyyah wrote about it yani, when he was alive, long time ago. So I mentioned that last time, I just wanted to clear that up. I realized after I said it that this is not the correct way to say it. Okay, now as I said, with respect to the Quran, we had to distinguish also between what is part of the Quran and what isn't part of the Quran. Now, with respect to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, how do we know what the how do we receive the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ nowadays? That's a good way to say it. And obviously, we are not seeing the Prophet, we are not hearing him, so therefore, we have to reply on what? What? It doesn't have to be paper, actually. Well, it can be also oral, right? Oral. So, yani, what are they? They are reports, right? Or khabar. Yeah, yani, it is, yani, the way we know the sunnah now is simply through reports. That's the only way that we know the sunnah, khabar. Okay.
In books,
Now mostly books, but this is in general, any time after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it could have been oral, could have been in any way. But the fact is that this is a report. So now the next thing that we have to do is we have to go to these reports, because there's lots of reports about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have to distinguish in these reports what are the correct reports from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what are the incorrect reports. Okay, what does this term imply in Arabic, by the way? It's different from Insha. What's the difference between them?
In the Bahtar, it's already available.
No.
Because it's
Hey, it may be true or it may be false. That's the difference between this and Insha. Could be present, could be present, right? I am telling you that Jurayd is not sleeping right now. That's a present report. Could be true, could be false. Most likely false in this case. So, since this is the case, and what we have from the Prophet ﷺ, our reports, basically, we have to distinguish the true ones from the false ones. Okay, we said that the usually we listed our sources. We said the Quran is the first source, and then the Sunnah, right? Okay. So what we did before is we had to define what is the Sunnah. I mean, what is the Quran, right? We gave a definition for the Quran. We gave the conditions. We said, in order for something to be the Quran, has to meet these conditions. So now we're trying to define the Sunnah, which is yani meant to be qudwa and meant to give laws for us. Okay. So there's two aspects to it. Number one is that many of his actions are not part of the what is qudwa. So we have to take those out first. Okay. And we don't have to go in that order, but the second aspect is that these sunnah come to us through reports. And now we have to distinguish between which of those reports are true, in other words, which of these reports are actually of the sunnah and which are not. That's what we're trying to do. Clear now? In the beginning, yani here,
before we go to action,
yani it could have been only yani this thing existed before this, right? Yani what the Prophet ﷺ said and did existed, so we want to go through that first and then go through what came after it. It is chronologically correct what I'm doing. Everything clear so far? You know what we're trying to get at? Okay, the Usuliyin, or the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, and the Muhaddithin, they have a little bit different of approach to this topic. With respect to the Usuliyin, for example, Al-Ghazali in Al-Mustasfa, he divides reports into three categories. One, those that are definitely true. Okay. Two, those that are definitely false. Mind you, different, yani when we come to examples, different usuliyin have different examples. I just picked Al-Ghazali. Since it's a classic work that is used by many people. And what's the third category? Pardon me? Yani in al-Mustasfa. Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. Al-Mustasfa. When we talked about the history of Usul al-Fiqh, we said that al-Mustasfa is one of the big four. Remember that? What's the third category? There's only three categories. Okay, none of the above, or what is in between? Okay. Naam? Yani mumkin, yani yeah, it could be true, it could be false. It has the possibility of being true or false. Yet. We'll get to it. Okay. And here, what are some examples here that are definitely true? Hadith Sahih could be here, according to Al-Ghazali, or it could be here. Yeah, actually, that's something interesting that the Usuliyin do. They jump between akhbar in general reports in general, and reports of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, sometimes they make rad, or they refute some Hindu sects. I don't know why. Yani they discuss some Hindu sects, what they believe, and they refute it yani with respect to. And it doesn't belong in the book of Usul al-Fiqh. Maybe in a book on Aqidah. And sometimes they discuss, especially about Mutawatir, when we discuss Mutawatir. They said, yani. I think even some of the people who recorded it, they have no idea what group that's referring to. And because someone wrote it one time, and ever since that time, everyone has been copying what he wrote. And I'm sure, because one person even wrote the footnote trying to explain who that group was, and he's completely wrong. But, so what are some of the reports that are definitely true? Some of them are obvious, not some of them are not so obvious. Hadith Sahih could be here, or it could be here. Okay, what is reported through Mutawatir? Okay. Mutawatir reports. Mutawatir, we will, actually we're going to discuss it in detail today. For now, we'll just say what has been narrated on a continuous basis. Continuous transmission. Okay, for example, the statements and if the statements or the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are definitely true. No, at the Quran. And yeah, this is in general. Oh, good point. That's what I said, they jump. And we're jumping with them. Obviously, what's the next one? Obviously. And the statements of the Prophet. What's the difference? Mutawatir reports, this is in general. And they are getting to Sunnah, but they are not really.
What do you mean by
And the Prophet ﷺ, we talked about yani Asmat Rasul. Okay? The Prophets cannot lie. So therefore anything they said is definitely true. Same with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mutawatir report that doesn't come from the Prophet ﷺ is definitely true.
Yeah, but what I'm saying about the statement of the Prophet. If it's transmitted.
No, no. Forget about transmission. Hey, we're talking about statements of the Prophet. Forget about transmission.
I'm not talking about the
Prophet. Yes.
What's true in Arabic? What do you call true in Arabic? Is it Sahih?
No. Yeah, Sadiq. Or Kidd. Yeah. True doesn't mean Sahih. Okay, D.
It's a statement.
Yeah, but yani, don't think about reports. If you're alive and you're standing in front of the Prophet, yeah, that's okay, that's the point here. And the corollary to that is that if you hear something that you know for sure came from the Prophet, you know it is correct.
Of course, but we're talking about reports.
Yes. Yeah, then you will be talking about reports. Okay, the third one is what the Ummah and by the way, later he's going to contradict himself. What the Ummah has accepted as true.
That is tricky one.
By the way, notice I said here, definitely true. Okay, we're talking about yani, things which are qat'ah. No question about that these things are true. As when we talk about here, There's no question about it that these things are going to be definitely false. Definitely false. Okay, what's the proof for this one, or what's the argument here? Hey, yani when we get to Ijma, we'll talk about it. And if the Ummah accepts something as true, for one thing, the Prophet said that this Ummah will not agree upon something which is false, and so on. That's enough for now. Now, if you don't like what we're doing so far, you're not going to like this one. Or, excuse me, any statement. Any report that agrees with the above. Any report that agrees with the above. What does that mean? With any of the above. If, for example, I said that Baghdad used to be the capital or the seat of the Khalifa, where does that go here? Okay, it agrees with Mutawatir. So what I'm saying must be true. Yeah, okay, but Mutawatir. So what I'm saying must be true, right? Why did he make it different? By the way, Mutawatir, I'll talk about that later. This is one of those topics that is not really dealt with very well in the Usuli literature, if you ask me. Yeah. Okay. Any statement. Actually, by the way, khabar is more statement. Statement is more general than khabar. Any statement said in the presence of the Prophet, which he did not refute, which is what? Iqrar. We just finished discussing it last time. Okay. Any statement said in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, which he did not refute. In other words, if there's iqrar from the Prophet ﷺ to what someone said, then it must be true. Now, Al-Ghazali didn't mention the conditions, but I will say that those conditions that we mentioned last time apply to this. What else did he say?
His action was in love with the Prophet.
Any statement? We're talking about reports here, so any statement. Okay, and the last one that he mentions, and in other words, this is Al-Ghazali's opinion about what is yani definitively true. So all of these things are yani qat'a. And the last one he states is that any report that has been mentioned in the presence of a group of people who did not yani refute the report, even though there would have been reason for them to refute the report. For example, I'm in front of 50 people and I said, for example, after the time the Prophet ﷺ died, they discuss who should be the Khalifa. Okay. So someone says at that time that the Prophet ﷺ said the Imam or the Imams are from the Quraysh. Okay. Now there would be reason, yani if you're from the Ansar or if you don't, yani if you believe the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that, and you're in that group, there would be reason for you to speak out. Okay. So he's saying that any statement made in the presence of a group, and they did not refute that statement, even though they would have reason to refute it, then this becomes, anyway, accepted as definitively true. So what's he saying? Okay, that is...
Bring 50 Americans on the program. One statement, if they don't agree...
Lala, I said, and there would be some reason for them to refute it. If you make a statement in front of 50 people and none of them know what you're talking about, that's not what he's talking about.
How he knows that they have reason to refute?
They have reason to refute?
Yeah. Okay, that means true.
Huh? What? That means the thing is true, huh? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
That's not
D. No. D is, yani, we're talking about ijma', the whole ummah. Here we're just talking about a group. Okay, we're not talking about the whole ummah. Like, for example, if...
And that's after the Prophet gave that example.
Yeah. I could give other any examples.
Some hadith mentioned something about the Iraq and his Iraq, but it's Iraq of Belad al-Shiqaq or Belad al-Fitan. All the Iraq is quiet.
Yeah.
It must be true.
This kind of thing. That if they had reason to deny the statement and they didn't deny it, and if they would have had cause to deny it and they didn't deny it, then we say that the statement must be true. Okay, those that he mentioned as definitively true, definitively false. Yeah, excuse me. Anything, yani, which any report that is contrary means contradicts. Any necessity of reason, and that means things that are known and without question by reason, anything which contradicts a mutawatir report, etc. For example, necessity of reason is saying, if someone says that 3 is greater than 4, and we know that 3 is not more than 4. That kind of thing.
Well, you could say it is greater than 4, you just definitely.
You must be from the Mu'tazila, and you'd like to make ta'wil for any... And in general, if someone says that 3 is greater than 4, what do you think about that?
I think it's
different. Thank you.
Why don't we have something to present before?
Okay.
Stefan, I mean. Now we know.
I'll think about that one. Because that would have to have laws, yani, or some limits applied to it. Yani. Be that which, by the way, that which. Now here's this is going to be redundant. That which contradicts decisive text. Decisive texts, yani nusus that are clear in their meaning, not open to interpretation. Okay. Reports openly denied. Reports openly denied by people familiar with the event or with the statement. And obviously that's not sufficient. Huh? and yani whose number is such that and it is obvious that they did not agree to deny that report. For it to be definitely false? It is obvious that they... not according to this last condition.
You see, most of the new scientific findings, first it was rejected by a lot of people from everywhere.
Okay, we're talking about, and when we say people familiar with the statement, that means they know the reality of the statement.
Yeah. Well,
like, so, for example, so-and-so says that so-and-so was shot. He was shot on such and such day in King Supers. Okay. And we bring the workers from King Supers who were there, and they witnessed the event, and they saw the man, and they saw him leaving, and they all deny that he was shot.
Yeah, what are you saying specifically is not what this is.
What we mean by this statement, yani this here, this clause will negate yani what you're saying. I mean, not negate, but I mean
when
will.
When you say people familiar, how should I know if these people are familiar or not?
Okay, people who know
exactly
the soundness or falsity of the statement.
Yes.
Doesn't be yani ikhtisas means something more, yani just someone who happened to have been there and knows what happened. Okay. If you don't like C, you're not going to like D either. Pardon me?
Whose number is majority?
Not necessarily the majority, but yani there are such a number that it's clear that they are denying it because it didn't happen. They're not denying it because they're trying to cheat or lie or something like that. Okay. And the last one he mentions remind me never to, if I ever give a lecture like this again, remind me to drop this from the... The last one which he mentions is those reports which a large number of people have kept from reporting and speaking about in spite of the fact that the event was reported to have occurred in their presence and that it would have been customarily impossible for them to keep from mentioning it when there is abundant impetus to report. Let me give you an example. Jared, and if you sit next to someone, you talk. This is halas. Okay, the Shia claim, and this is an example that'll make this statement clear. And the Shia claim that when the Prophet ﷺ was coming back from the Hajj, he stopped at a place called, what's the name of it? Gudir Khum, something like that?
Yeah,
Gudir Khum. He stopped at this place and he held Ali, Gudir Khum, and he said, yani, that this is going to be the Khalifa after me. And he made a long speech about Ali, that yani, this is the person who is supposed to be the Khalifa after him. This speech was supposedly made in front of thousands of people. Okay? Now, after the Prophet ﷺ died, we know that there was a dispute about who should be the Khalifa. Yet all of these thousands of people, yani, none of them, including Ali, yani, mentioned this event. Okay? So this is the sign that this, yani, this report of this event is definitely false. Because it is an event that apparently took place in front of a large number of people, and these people should have reported it, yet we know that none of them ever reported it. And there was a need, yeah. Should have reported, yeah. There was abundant impetus, as Al-Ghazali says, to report. Pardon me? No. In this case, yani, they are silent about reporting it, and then someone else comes later and says that that happened. Does that example make that point clear? Mustafa? The thing that Al-Ghazali wrote? Yeah, I didn't bring it in there. This is the translation of what he wrote. Those reports in which a large number of people have kept from reporting and speaking about, in spite of the fact that the event was reported to have occurred in their presence, and that it would be customarily impossible for them to keep from mentioning it when there is abundant impetus to report it. Huh? Impetus, yani more than, I forget the word, yani something pushing you to do something. More than reason. Definitely. I should have brought the mustasba with me. I did explain the main idea. I gave an example there. Faisal, did you understand this point? You didn't understand number C, okay. We're on number D, but... Number C is the case where something claims something happened, okay? Yet the people who know about it, they say that event didn't happen, okay? And the people who deny it are a large number, such that it's not the case where they got together and they said, we're going to deny this happened. And it is the opposite of mutawatir here, actually. If you know the definition of mutawatir, this is using mutawatir in the negative.
Is there an example? Because he just explained,
yeah,
the case of only one example, is that general?
No, that example I gave you is just an example, Annie. It is, but the principle applies to much more than that. Yeah. So these things are definitively false. Okay. So if there's any report from the Sunnah, any hadith, anyone narrates a hadith, and these things apply to it, then we know that that hadith is definitely false, right? And that report is not part of the Sunnah. Okay. Muhaddithin, by the way, use the same principle. When you talk about fabricated hadith, when you talk about fabricated hadith, the signs that hadith are fabricated, some are in the metan or the text, and some are in the chain. These, all apply to those in the metan. And in fact, the usuliyin got this from the muhaddithin. They may not give him credit for it, but they got this from the muhaddithin. The problem is that the muhaddithin, not that they don't like usuliyin. They don't like usuliyin for some reasons, and those reasons are true, that they went into topics, they brought things into usul fiqh that do not belong in usul fiqh. Things related to philosophy and logic and so forth. But the real reason, there's a difference between them, is that actually the muhaddithin, they have their own madhab. They have their own fiqh madhab. They are an independent school of fiqh. So therefore they have their own ideas, which do not always coincide with these ideas.
Why is that so important that this one, that one?
What?
You're saying that they have their own manner. Mm-hmm. Why is it not said that that person was the correct
school? Oh, in this class it is, but you're just not noticing it. But also, if there's any reports, okay, of any hadith, okay, regarding something from the Sunnah, and it meets these conditions, then it is definitely true. Okay. Now, as I said, Al-Ghazali later contradicts himself because he says about this one, and he does not say it's definitively true. Deed.
No, like deed.
Deed also said that. What is deed? But so, now back to what you said, Ahmed. And then what is in between? Is anything in between there? Hadith sahih, a hadith which is sahih, where does it go here? Oh. You were in the hadith class. Okay, actually we didn't get to, you know, in the hadith class we didn't get this far, so I'll excuse you. So where does it go? You're still wrong. Doesn't go here, doesn't go there. For sure doesn't go here. Yani some hadith which are sahih are mutawatir, those go here. And many hadith which are sahih are not mutawatir, he would put them over here. Okay? Over here in the category, what is in between? Over here then, we're going to have to discuss what are the conditions to accept these reports. You get that? We're going to have to discuss the conditions, yani how do we know whether to accept these reports or to reject them? And that is really the job of actually the muhaddithin. But the usuliyin also discuss it. Okay. Based on this kind of idea that there are some reports that are definitively true and other reports that you have to examine. So these you have to examine these. Okay, these you have to examine. So it doesn't mean that they're all false. Okay, doesn't mean that they're all false, obviously. But from Al-Ghazali's point of view and from many of the Usuliyin's point of view, it means that they are not qat' either. And this is the point that we're going to have to discuss later. What? They're not definitive. Okay, the camera's not on, doesn't it? Pardon me? Question? Already? Ten till ten. Then. You're right. Okay. Based on this kind of concept, we have the division of reports into different categories. Okay, the muhaddithin, or the scholars of hadith, I'm sorry, I've been using that term. Muhaddithin means the scholars of hadith. Okay. Pardon me? No. And I'm saying based on this kind of reasoning, that there's some reports definitely true and some definitely false, and so forth. And we get a division of reports by the scholars. Okay. The scholars of hadith divide reports into reports which are mutawatir. Those are the ones that have a continuous transmission. And what's the other one? Pardon me? Hey, non-mutawatir. Ahad, okay, ahad. Ahad means not mutawatir. Okay. Under Ahad, they break it into other groups. They break it into Mashhur and Aziz and Maghrib. Okay. Now, I'm going to say something that I'm sure the muhaddithin would not like, but in reality, yani, this division here of the muhaddithin has virtually no significance whatsoever. In the sense that they don't mean anything really.
In the sense of accepting or denying or refusing.
Why? Why? No, because the problem is their definition of mutawatir.
Yeah, but if you mean, if you
accept
it, define mutawatir like anything, and you meet your condition, you have to believe
it. Okay, you have to believe in it, but the problem is that many of these are in fact mutawatir. Huh? Yes, I'm saying that the way they define it, there's no significance to it.
But this concept is true, but they have to change their definition. So.
Yes. The concept between mutawatir and not mutawatir, obviously that's true. But not the way they deal with it. I will show you why in a few minutes. Okay? And this is stuff you will not read in any book, by the way. No one will say that this has virtually no significance whatsoever. The Usuliyin, or the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, who are not Hanafis, the Turkish brothers are not here today, so they cannot object to it. The Usuliyin, they divide reports into mutawatir and ahad. Non-Hanafis. Including al-Ghazali.
So here what was he talking about?
Here he's making it more general. Yeah, hadith here. Yeah. But those principles also apply to hadith. And this concept is based on this idea that there's some reports that are definitively true and others which are not. Okay? And then the Hanafis, how do they divide up hadith? No Hanafis here? Okay, mutawatir. Mustafid. What? Mustafid? Oops, that's not right. Yeah. And Ahad. No. Not the first one also?
Both.
The first is I believe you, but it doesn't go. No, I think no. You're wrong. I'm pretty sure you're wrong. I know. But anyway, that's not important. Huh? Okay. We will get to this in a second. The one thing common to all three is this one, mutawatir. And that's what we want to discuss today. And ahad. Okay, now I'll show you why it doesn't really have any significance. And this is one thing, by the way, the Usuliyin, when they write on this, they get confused between yani, two concepts. They use mutawatir in two different ways. Okay? And if they use the concept, some of the Usuliyin, yani, when they write, they're getting confused between two concepts. And the problem is both of them are called mutawatir. Okay? Yeah. No, Usuliyin. But the source of the problem comes from here also. Okay, mutawatir for the muhaddithin, what does it mean?
It has to be a continuous chain that they can
lie
and agree
in their law. MashaAllah. Okay, a report narrated by so many people. In each link, that it is inconceivable that they could have what?
Lied.
Could have what?
Lied.
Agreed upon a lie. And what else? Agreed upon a lie or coincidentally narrate the same mistake. Definition. Mutawatir for muhaddithin. That's not all, actually. There's more to it. But that's enough for now. Okay. This is what they are saying here. Okay, let's call this definition A. Okay. So the muhaddithin basically are talking about these hadiths, yani, have been reported in every generation, yani, by so many people. And these people are just too many to, yani, for it to be conceivable that they agreed upon making up this false hadith, or that they're all narrating the same mistake. Okay? In each generation.
What is that? Is it
Yeah, the continuation, we'll get to it. Yeah. Not important right now. Okay? Now, what do the usuleen, let's call this definition B, okay? Now, this is not the usuliyin's definition of mutawatir, but this is the way the usuliyin use the term mutawatir. There's a difference. Use of the term mutawatir. There's a big difference.
But they give it another definition.
They give it this definition, but they use it this way. Okay. So the use, in reality, what they're saying is any report that conveys definitive knowledge to the one who hears it. Any report that conveys definitive knowledge to the one who hears it.
Sure.
This is what they mean.
May I ask, how did you come up with
this?
When you say
it, yes. And because if you study with the usuleen, they'll say that it's sufficient for one person to narrate it, and it can be mutawatir. Okay? But it's a different use. Unfortunately, they define it that way, but it's a different use.
So the ceremony there is not really common. Don't have.
From Muhaddithin, yes. You see, this usage includes many hadith which are ahad. Okay? And this is the important definition. This definition, yani the way it's stated, the way it really means nothing. What we have here is every A is D, but not vice versa. But not every B is an A. Okay, all of these are here. But not all of these are not there. And this is the thing that you're looking for. You want to know, and the reason they came up with the term mutawatir, is you want to know what are those reports that are definitively true. So therefore, this is what's important. Not this thing over here. Not their definition here. And these, of course, these really mean nothing. These subcategories of ahad, yani they mean practically nothing. Okay? So what we're really looking for in mutawatir is this. Okay? How is it the case, yani, that these are not equal? Every B is not. Sorry. No, every B is not. No, yeah, that's wrong. That's what I said. Yeah, okay. That's what I said. But not every B is it. Okay. Now again, what's the important thing? And why even the Muhaddithin introduced the concept of mutawatir? Is this is what they were looking for. Now, how could this be the case, Yani? If this condition isn't met, how could this come about? Yani, if you believe that these are equal, okay, al-Baqilani. Qadi al-Baqilani, he believes that these are equal. Because he negates, he does not believe in the use of something. Yani, how could a report that doesn't meet this condition meet this condition? Okay, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, إنما الأعمال بالنيات, yani every action is based upon intention. It does not meet this condition. Yet, almost everyone would tell you that it is definitive. Okay? The only way this could happen is by the use, and you have to use circumstantial evidence. Okay? Yani numbers, and numbers by themselves is not sufficient. Okay? In other words, yani 10 people could tell me something and I could believe it, yani, definitively. And another 10 people could tell me something else and I will disbelieve it definitively. What's the circumstantial evidence? What's the word for that in Arabic? Qara'in. Yeah. Circumstantial. For example, if you find someone dead, and you find a gun next to him, and you find my fingerprints on it, that is circumstantial evidence.
But if you find somebody dead, and I am standing beside him, and I have a gun, this is circumstantial.
It's still circumstantial.
But it doesn't mean that I killed him.
Huh?
It doesn't mean that I killed him.
Yeah, that's what circumstantial is. And you cannot send someone to prison based on circumstantial evidence alone. you have to prove motive and possibility, any ability to commit the crime and so forth. You can tell that I once wanted to be a lawyer. Okay? So by the use of circumstantial evidence, so we're not talking about a concept of just numbers alone. And we're talking about much more than that. That's why I said this has no significance whatsoever. Because they define mutawatir this way, but then when they talk about specific hadith, they say this hadith is qat'i.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm saying that, that's why I'm saying this virtually has no significance whatsoever. Okay? So this is what we're trying to get. Okay? This is the definition you always hear about mutawatir. But in fact, this is the thing that we are trying to get.
So the word mutawatir, mutawatir in Arabic means...
Yes.
But the use of mutawatir is not necessary. We should say qat'i, that's it.
Yes.
We should not say mutawatir.
Yes, you could say that. This is the goal that you're trying to get.
Yeah.
In fact, when we continue this definition, Ibn Hajr includes this fact in the definition. He says that it conveys certain knowledge to the one who hears it. But if you're going to include them both, in this way, it may give you the wrong impression.
What I'm saying is that mutawatir is good. This is definitely.
Yes.
But what we are looking for is the whether the utility of the knowledge or not.
Because that's the way they use the term.
Yeah. But the word mutawatir doesn't mean much for us.
It means, it means a lot because of this.
It's a subgroup of what we are looking for.
It's a subgroup of the way they use the term. Mutawatir is a subgroup of mutawatir. Okay? The point is, this is what we're looking for. When we talk about the Quran being mutawatir, and can a hadith, which is not, or can a hadith, for example, make takhsis or particularize a verse in the Quran? Okay. For the Hanafis, they'll say no, unless that hadith is mutawatir. What do they mean by that? Do they mean this? No, they mean this. Yes. For them, it has to be either mashur or mutawatir. And we'll talk about, mustafid or mutawatir. Okay?
But if you have a report that hard to draw the line, then like a hadith narrated by three or two sahab.
Okay.
Where do you find this, then, the usefulness of each or keeping for this definition?
Well, if, for example, the hadith in Innamal A'mal Binniyat, okay? We know this hadith from only one Sahabi. Okay? It is only authentically narrated from one Sahabi, and that's Umar ibn al-Khattab. Okay? Only one. But if you know the, as we talked about in the hadith class, if you know the Sahaba, how they dealt with hadith, that they were very careful, even not to add even a single letter to the wording of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know that when they are conveying the hadith, you know that they are making sure that they are saying it exactly the way they heard the Prophet says it. So the Umar ibn Khattab said that during khutbah, that hadith. So if I was sitting there in the Jum'ah, I wish, and listening to Umar ibn Khattab, this is qat'i. This is what they will call later qat'i or mutawatir. Yes. That's what I'm saying. This is circumstantial evidence. We know some things about the Sahaba. So you gave an example of two Sahaba. Okay? Well, what happened after that? You have to tell me, what happened after that?
Three Sahaba related something to two or one Sahaba.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he spread it out.
There you are.
So where to put this?
Depends. It depends.
Yeah.
Did the whole ummah accept it? Did the ulama of hadith agree upon it? And there's other factors that you have to look into. And we will discuss what are those factors that take these reports, what are the circumstantial evidence, yani, that take these reports from being doubtful to being qati'?
Not the number, not even
Well, I mean, that will be part of the circumstantial evidence. If, for example, you hear a hadith from Imam Shafi'i and you know Imam Shafi'i's standing in hadith and the way he narrates hadith and how careful he is, yani that is those other facts, and you have the report by itself. The report is just what he said. It has nothing to do with him, yani, in essence. But yani, his status are the circumstantial evidence that may raise that hadith.
Even hadith from Sahih Bukhari,
there's a strong because of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Dawood. Yeah, yani, مثلا, a hadith which is in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Okay? There is some qara'in, yani, that will make, there's some circumstantial evidence concerning the hadith of Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that will raise that to be qati'. Now, there's some difference of opinion, yani, we'll get to all the nice difference of opinion. طيب. Clear? And these are really, yani, as I said, these really have have no meaning to them whatsoever. Okay, now, as I said, yani, even given this definition, now let's go back to this definition. This one here. I know you're saying it for the tape, I was just kidding. The Muhaddithin's definition. Yani, this is not complete. Yani, there are some conditions that a mutawatir report has to fulfill. Okay? In other words, not every report that you might think of in your mind as being mutawatir will necessarily be considered mutawatir. And yani, there are some conditions. So let's see what those conditions are. We'll get to that. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay? So let's see. These are the four conditions for a report to be considered mutawatir. that's a good question. Because one of these conditions deals yani, clearly with the difference between these two. Okay? Four conditions for a report to be considered mutawatir. Any idea what they might be? ABCD. By the way, since you mentioned that, even the concept of mutawatir, okay, even as the muhaddithin defined it, is this actually a topic for muhaddithin? Okay, what is the role of the muhaddithin? Aywa. Yani, most of the early books by the muhaddithin didn't even discuss this concept. Because it has nothing to do with the job of the muhaddithin. The job of the scholars of hadith are to examine hadith to say whether they are authentic or not. These are automatically authentic. The only job of the muhaddithin with respect to these is to tell you how many chains it came through. That's all. Asanid. Okay, so this is actually not even part of the role of the muhaddithin. So the early muhaddithin didn't even discuss it. It was the later muhaddithin that came up with this. Okay. The four conditions for hadith to be mutawatir is that the reporters must report on something they know, and not on an assumption. Okay? So, for example, suppose 50 people see someone being shot. Okay? And all of them didn't exactly see the person who was shot. Okay? The person who was shot looked someone like Zayd. Looked something like someone called Zayd. Okay? And if these 50 people all report to us that Zayd has been shot, and this is not what we're talking about in Mutawatir. Because they are not basing it on something they know, but they are basing it on something they are assuming. Okay? Now, with respect to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, this isn't a big problem. And in fact, these conditions are basically to negate some other things. Number two, and in what they report, must be based on perception. Must be based on perception. Idrak is close, but what I mean by that is that it has to be based upon something that they either saw or that they heard, and a perception has to do with the five senses. What do you call it in Arabic? Okay. Now, for example, if all of the philosophers, or the 2,000 philosophers, the 3,000 philosophers, and 4,000 philosophers, all agree that the world is qadim, or ancient, and most of the philosophers, they believe that the world is coexistent with Allah. Even the Muslim philosophers, what they're called, the Muslim philosophers, they believe that the world is coexistent with Allah. So if all of these philosophers say that the world is qadim, then it doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't mean that that's mutawatir because 10,000 philosophers said so. Because they are saying something that they did not see, they did not hear, they are just imagining it. If all of the Christians say that Jesus is Son of God, it doesn't mean anything. They didn't see Him being Son of God. They're not even reporting it from Him, that He's Son of God or one of the Trinity. So that's why I said actually some of these conditions are to remove any other things that are not really related to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Three, the conditions for mutawatir must be met. And every link of the report or every generation, tabaqat. The condition coming and also this condition number two.
No, which condition?
Yeah, I'm saying the condition coming and condition number two.
These conditions.
These are conditions for. So, in other words, if we have a report that's 1,000 Sahaba who narrated, and then only one of the Tabi'een narrated it, and then 1,000 Tabi'een, and 1,000 companions, and then one of the following generation, and then 1,000, and apparently that will not be mutawatir. Mutawatir has to be in every generation. This kind of condition has to be met in every generation, whether this condition or this condition. And the last condition, this is where the Usuleen prove that what they mean by mutawatir is this and not this. The last condition is the number of narrators. In each generation, in each link. Okay. Okay, what does that condition mean? And as I said, this is where the Usuliyin are going to prove that what they're really looking for is this over here. And each of the tabaqat has to have the minimum number. Now, what's the minimum number for a report to be mutawatir? More than 3? 50? 1? Aywa. Okay, from the muhaddithin's definition, if you think about it, and I said they broke ahad down to mashhur, aziz, and ghareeb. Based on this, what would be the minimum? 4. Okay. Let me give you some of the opinions and the proofs for these different opinions. Okay. I'll get to that. See, some people are not as advanced when they deal with this topic, Ahmed, and they come up with a number. Some say the number is 4. Okay, what's their proof? No, that's the definition. It comes after the fact. they could have added a 5th one, a 6th one, 7th one. Their proof is the verse in the Quran, the number of witnesses that you need in the case of adultery. What's the problem with that proof? Has nothing to do with a report being mutawatir or not. All of the evidence, all of the numbers that they limit, are of the same nature. For example, some people say the minimum is 5. What's their proof for that? It's a verse. Yeah, of course, they have to come up with a verse. Now, then. That's when the person accusing his wife of committing adultery. He has to swear 4 times that she did it, and the 5th one he has to swear he has to ask for the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upon him if he's lying. So 5. 4 and then the 5th. Some say the minimum is 10. This is very popular among some of the muhaddithin. A Suyuti wrote a book on a collection of mutawatir hadith, and his condition is that in each chain there is at least 10 different people who narrate it. What's their proof for 10? This is now Lugha, not Quran hadith. Their proof, they said that a group which is less than 10 is called Jama' Ahad or Jama' Qilla. So it has to be more than 10 to be a big jama. Some say 12. 12 is the number of nuqaba that were chosen for Bani Israel. Some say 20. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you're 20 and you're steadfast, then you shall overcome 200. So they say 20. Well, you want to write these down? Where are you now? Some say 20 is after that. Some say 40. Because of the verse that says, O Prophet, Allah is sufficient for you and those who follow you of the believers. When that verse was revealed, it was after Umar ibn Khattab became Muslim, and he was the 40th Muslim. 40. No? He's sleeping. Yeah, you're in the beat. Never mind. Never mind. Some say 70, based on the verse in Surah Al-A'raf 155, and Moses chose of his people 70 men for our appointed tribe. Some say 313. Where did they come up with that number? The number of people of Badr. Some of the Hanafis say the number must be such that it cannot be contained in one city. All of these mean nothing whatsoever.
Yani first of all, the proofs have nothing to do with yani mutawatir. Al-Badr? Oh, I don't know, but that's a good point, and so forth. And there are other opinions. Okay, I think yani it is time to quit now. So, inshallah, next time we shall begin. We shall begin with Al-Ghazali's response to what is the minimum number for hadith to be considered mutawatir. Pardon me? We'll discuss it next time. I told you already. I gave you already the idea. Huh? Okay, I will tell you yani his opinion now. There is no such thing as a minimum number for a mutawatir.
One and two.
Okay, number one is more specific than number two. Okay, number two means it must relate to something that they either saw or heard. It cannot be something theoretical. Yeah, and number one means yani the thing that they know, or they think they know for certain. It's not based on an assumption or presumption on their part.
But number two,
if you see, for example, someone walking down the street, okay, and you think this is Zayd, but you're not sure about it. Okay, you saw something, but you didn't meet the condition for number one. And you're assuming it's Zayd because yani, it looks a little bit like you. Now that I explained it to you, you don't know? Yani, one is more specific. Number two means it has to be something you see or hear. Number one is saying that if you see it or hear it, you have to be certain of what you saw or heard. Actually, it could be the five, but with reports, yani, smell or touch, yani, it doesn't seem to